Many of you have heard me speak about Billy before, but for those of you who haven't, Billy is a fantastic mix of someone who is powerfully and clearly anointed by God, just a God-appointed apostle for our time, and yet in the package of someone who's wonderfully normal, very real, very down-to-earth, kind of humble and servant-hearted, so holds that kind of call of God very lightly in a way, takes it seriously. He knows that he is an apostle, a servant of Christ Jesus, which is something a number of us have been trying to get used to saying those kinds of words. But with it, it's just all about, it's just one of the gifts to serve God and to serve his church. So he's a great role model to many of us, and he's actually been really fun to work with because he's incredibly releasing. He sees potential everywhere and just speaks it into life. So one of the things I think for us as Open Heaven, we have grown tremendously in the last few years into more of our God-given calling because Billy has just very naturally said what he's seen, and it's catalyzed life and it's shifted our self-perception. So really pleased to welcome him here and to honour him. So listen up, this is going to be good.
Cheers. Wow, there we go. That was very kind of you, Ness, to say all those nice things. I'll pay you later. Okay, well, good morning, everybody. It is morning, isn't it? So I came from Nottingham, not Southampton, because my daughter lives in Nottingham, so we stayed there last night, and they've just had their first child, so I'm now a grandparent along with everything else that I do, which is the most exciting thing. Those of you who've got to that stage of life, it's great. You get to do it all over again, except without the waking in the night and all that sort of stuff. So that's great fun. So it's good to be here with you all. And I think it's the first time I've come to St. Peter's in the morning, actually. So it's nice to see it in action. It's great. And I love all this stuff. It's great to God's great chaotic life that exists, isn't it? You know, I've been to some churches recently where it's the opposite. You know, it's like strict order. And there's not a lot of life that's evident. In fact, we were in Malta last week. And the sad thing was this, it was Carnival week. So on the Tuesday night, Shrove Tuesday, was like Mardi Gras. And the place, Valletta, the main city, was just packed. And it was like this. You know, it was wild and colorful and fun and everybody there and these huge floats. And then the next day is Ash Wednesday. And so Caroline's does family trees and her great grandparents were married in this particular church in Valletta because they were in the in the army and were stationed there, so got married in this church. But the only way we could get into the church was to go to a service. So we decided to go to the imposition of ashes service on Ash Wednesday. And it's this huge cathedral, it's about 1,000 people, and there were like 12 of us there, crammed into the choir stalls, and it was freezing cold, and it was this very cold liturgy as well, and we had the ashes imposed on us, you know, boom, boom, boom. And the priest obviously had something else on afterwards, so it was rushing through this service, and I thought the contrast between the two was really quite marked, when with the life of God, it should have been more like that, but yet we had this very stale, cold, and I do like some liturgies. I'm not saying it's that, but it just was the contrast for me between the life that I saw and the color and the monochrome existence that I experienced in that rather worn down cathedral in Valletta. And so it's great to see life, and I would rather plumb for that any day. So we're looking at being an apostolic resource community. Are you ever asked the question, once people find out you go to church, so what sort of church is it? I always go, well, and then they'll go, Church of England. And I go, well, no, not really, but we're sort of not that far removed from it. We're sort of like evangelical. And they look bemused by that. And then I say, we're sort of like charismatic. And they look confused by that. And then I say, happy clappy. They go, oh, yes, I know the sort of church you go to. So we are happy clappy. I hope we stay happy. I think we're less clappy than we used to be. You know, but that's probably just like this generation. It's too cool to clap, but happy-clappy they get, you know. So we're using this other term now, apostolic resource community. Now, if you were to try and say to someone, yeah, we're part of an apostolic resource community, that would be even more confusing. So I know you are unpacking this term right now, so I want to just add my bit to that. I think that there are different sorts of churches. And there are some churches that really are just in a community to serve that community. But I do believe that there are other churches that God has called to be more apostolic. And I believe that you are one of those sort of churches who do serve your immediate community, but there's a calling upon you to go beyond that into the town, the city, the region, and the nations. And so not every church has that same level of calling, but I believe that you do, and I know you're unpacking that at the moment. So the area that we're looking at today is, we find in Ephesians chapter 4, I'm going to read some verses from that you may have already been reading over these last few weeks, but Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11, Paul the Apostle writes, "So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ." So these gifts were given to the church in order that everybody might be equipped to do what God has called us to do. There was a program on TV a few years ago on BBC Two that was done by Ian Hislop called The History of the Do-Gooders. And over a like 6-week period, he tracked some of the social reformers in the 19th century. And what struck me was this, it was that most of them were Christians. Most were influenced by their faith. Not all, but most of them were. And none of them were church leaders. They were ordinary people called by God to do something. And it really hit me that my role as a church leader, as an apostle, is not to change the world. But my role is to equip you to go and change the world. We have a very specific role to equip God's people for works of service. And your role is to discover what that is and go and do it. And we want to provide an environment that actually you can become all that God has called you to become, and you can do all that God has called you to do. Whatever that is, in all the diversity that exists in that. We are God's handiwork, or God's poema, God's poem being crafted by God to make him known. And so how do we do that? How do we equip? How do we mobilize people? How do I get equipped to go and do what God has called me to do? So I've got a few things here that I'm going to rattle through, and you can pick up in more detail in your own time. But I've looked at how people, because we aren't here for the short term. You know, I think for me, we're here for the long term. I want to get to the end of my life and not like fall out halfway through. And so we're talking about a long-term commitment to follow Jesus, become who we're meant to become, do what we're meant to do. So the first thing is this, in order for us to do that, we need to have our minds renewed. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The first way that we set out, get equipped, get mobilized, is to start to think God's thoughts. God's thoughts about us, God's thoughts about Him, God's thoughts about our place in the world. We do that by allowing God's truth and God's word to fill our heart and change our mind. We do that by allowing the Holy Spirit to lead us into all truth. We do that through relationship. You know, Paul said to Timothy, be strong in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the things that you've heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others. Not only was truth wasn't disembodied, it was in a person. And so we allow God's truth to fill our hearts as we get into the scriptures, as we get to know those around who are slightly further ahead on the journey, and as we allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us and to lead it into all truth. And so as we teach here on a Sunday, as we run Ignite, as we do discipleship one-on-one and in small groups, it's the whole process of enabling our minds to be renewed, that we are transformed to become who God has called us to be. Our minds need to be renewed. But secondly, and we read this in the parable of the sower in Mark chapter 4, about the people who fall away. It says this, that when the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desire for other things come in, they choke the word and make it unfruitful. Not only do we need to have our minds renewed, but we need to have our hearts healed. Because the desire for these things is often of an unhealed heart seeking significance in those other stuff. I don't feel great about myself, but if I'm wealthy, I'll feel better. I'm full of fear because I can't trust God because my heart has been hurt and I'm unable to trust. And so my mind needs to be renewed, but my heart needs to be healed. Often I find this is where most of us trip up. This is where most of us don't stay the course because we've not allowed the love of God to so invade our hearts that we know we are loved. We know we are a son. We know we are a daughter. We know we are loved by our Father. And that isn't some wishy-washy sentimental thing. That is the core, I believe, of how we can walk strongly into our future. To know we are loved by God. So Paul prayed for the church in Ephesus that they would know how wide and how long and how high and how deep is the love of Christ. They would know that love, not just in their heads, but in their hearts. That they would grasp the love that the Father has lavished upon us. That we are called the sons and the daughters of God. It's amazing to know that we are loved by God. It heals our hearts in a powerful way. So our minds need to be renewed. Our hearts need to be healed. And the third thing is this. We're called into relationship with Jesus. Therefore, it's really important that we develop our relationship. It's not just about knowing stuff. But it's about being in a relationship with Jesus. It's about paying attention to what I call our inner lives. Because being a Christian is not simply about being good citizens, better behaved individuals, upstanding members of our community. No, no, we're called into our relationship with our Creator God through Jesus. And the disciples who were following Jesus were observing him as they went along in their journey. And at one point they said to him, Jesus, teach us to pray. Now, most of the disciples were good Jews who knew how to pray. They'd been taught how to pray from a very early age. But there was something about the way that Jesus knew God that they didn't. And we are called into relationship with God and intimacy with God. And so often we have narrowed down what could be the most rich, glorious, fulfilling relationship into a 5-minute quiet time. But actually God wants us to know him, to walk with him, to be known by him. And we get equipped to become who we're meant to be and to do what we're called to do as we allow that relationship to grow and to develop. And because we are all unique, we all experience him in our own unique way. For some of us, it may be walking in the hills. For others, it may be sitting reading a book. But we're all called to develop that part of our lives, to be known by God and to know him. It's part of what enables the transformation of our lives to take place as we walk in that way. And so we are equipped by having our minds renewed, our hearts healed, by developing our inner lives. Fourthly, we are equipped by having friends. That may seem really obvious, but what I need, what we all need to get up when I've fallen down, to keep going when I've got no strength left, is for some friends around me to say some kind things. That just keeps me going. We all need friends around us who can encourage us into who we are, who can speak into our potential, who can say kind things to us. I love what we do in our churches where we put someone in the middle of the room and lay hands and prophesy over them. You know, I'm thinking, where else, what other environment do we get to say really kind things to one another? I mean, we could boil it down to just that. It's a great, encouraging environment. That's never happened to me when I worked in retail. That never happened to me at school, apart from the odd parent evening. Well, it doesn't happen anywhere else. What a great environment to create, where we can gather around one another and speak what we see and call it into being, because that's what God does. And he gives us human beings to be alongside us who do that on his behalf. So we all need friends to support us, to love us, to challenge us, to carry our burdens, to cry with us, to laugh with us. We all need places where we can be real and transparent and honest without fear of rejection. A place of safety and security, shelter from the storms of life. We all need that environment in order for us to become all we're meant to be and do all that we are meant to do. It's part of our equipping. It's part of why we do church the way we do. And fifthly, we become who we are meant to be and do what we're meant to do by having our minds renewed, our hearts healed, giving attention to our inner lives, having friends around us to encourage us. And fifthly, we become that and we do that as we serve. Real simple. As we make our contribution. We live in a society that treats us as consumers. We were never created to simply be a consumer. We were all created to be a contributor, to make our, to play our part and to play our role. And so as we learn to serve in practical and mundane ways as well as great and grand ways, we become who we're meant to be. You know, just before the Passover meal in John chapter 13, it says Jesus showed his disciples the greatest extent of his love. And it says he knew where he had come from. He'd come from the Father. He knew he was returning to the Father. He knew that he'd been given all authority. So he was very secure in his identity. And in that place of security, he got on his knees, took off his outer garment, got a towel, and washed his disciples' feet. The most mundane, menial thing that anyone would do in those days. There's probably not an equivalent today as to what do you do today in the same way. Well, there's nothing quite like that. So Jesus simply served. And if the God of all creation can simply serve, then so can we. You know, it says in Philippians chapter 2 that he didn't grasp after majesty, but he humbled himself, he lowered himself, he became a servant, and he died on the cross. That's the way of the kingdom, by serving, by contributing, by playing our part. And as we simply serve, we become who we're meant to become. I can remember years ago going to speak at a church youth thing, because when you've done like church work for a while, you probably, the progression is you do children's work and then you do youth work and then you become a like big person's pastor, leader. So I did lots of youth work when I was younger, with people like Roger Ellis and Pete Gregg and all those guys, and Rich was in that mix as well at the time. So they said to me, you know, I was preaching in an interview at the start, what's your 5-year goal? And I think, listen, I'm not sure what I'm doing next week, never mind 5 years. And what I've learned is this, is that 5 year goals never really happen. But what I can do right now is what's important. As I serve right now, that's as far as I can see. And we're all called to simply serve in what God puts in front of us. It says God has put for us a pathway of good works. And so as I walk along this pathway, there'll be things that I'm called to do. And I don't quite know why I'm doing it necessarily, apart from serving, but they're in my pathway. And we've all got our own individual pathway that we walk in. And as we walk along that pathway, there will be good works that we're called to do. There will be things and ways we're called to serve that are unique to us. And as we do that diligently, so we take our next step into the next thing. And we do that. And as we do that faithfully, we step into the next thing. And we do that. A pathway of good works that God has prepared in advance for us to do. And as we keep doing that, we become who we're meant to become. We do what we're called to do. And I do things now that I never dreamt I would ever do, but I just simply got on and did what was in front of me at the time. And that's the calling for all of us. So we're all called to works of service. The role of apostles and pastors and prophets and teachers, and if you like, the whole church, is to equip every single member of our community to be all that God has called us to be and to do what he's called us to do, that you might go and perform great works for God in your neighborhoods, in your homes, in your families, in your workplaces, in the nation. That's what you're called to do. And in order for us to get to that point, our minds need to be renewed, our hearts need to be healed, we grow in our relationship with God, we have friends around us who cheer us on, and we do what's in front of us simply by serving and contributing where God gives us opportunity. And as we do that, faithfully, humbly, we get to that. It's simple, really. Takes the pressure off. You know, Jesus said, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So we don't want church life to be as stressful as every other aspect of our lives. And so I say, if it's heavy and hard, we're doing something wrong. Because it was never meant to be. It was meant to be easy and light. Now, it doesn't mean we don't work hard, but it doesn't create the stress of, shall I become all this? No, just simply allow the Spirit of God to lead us, journey with us, direct us, and relax. The seed of God's word is in us. It's going to grow. It's going to produce much fruit. The farmer, Jesus said, he doesn't know how it happens. He just looks out. And over time, the thing starts to grow. We just need to relax and rest and allow God to do his work in us. Come to me, all you're weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And we'll become all we're meant to become. Amen. Let's pray, shall we? You want to sing a song? You know, every year, the Methodist Church pray a prayer. It's called their covenant prayer. And we prayed a few weeks ago at our church meeting. And I just want to pray this as we close. It's a pretty heavy prayer. But this is what they pray every year since 1781. I am no longer my own, but yours. Put me to what you will. Rank me with whom you will. Put me to doing, put me to suffering. Let me be employed for you or laid aside for you, exalted for you or brought low for you. Let me be full. Let me be empty. Let me have all things. Let me have nothing. I freely and wholeheartedly yield all things to your pleasure and disposal. And now, glorious and blessed God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you are mine and I am yours. So be it. And the covenant now made on earth, let it be ratified in heaven. And so, Father, we echo the sentiments of that prayer. Lord, that we are yours. We want to be led by you, directed by you, in order that we might be all you've called us to be, and in order that we might do all you have called us to do. Lord, we submit our own plans, desires, dreams to you, that you might take these vessels, these bodies, these individuals, human beings that you've created, Lord. And you might create your poem, your handiwork, your craftsmanship in us as individuals and in us as a community to be all you've called us to be, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.